The following program is a JWC Media production for WrestleChat.net and CLW83.com. This edition of the NAWC is uncensored. For over 6 years, and nearly 300 episodes, the North American Wrestling Connection, the NAWC, wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net present. This is a CLW83 News special report. Here is Jim Williams.
We are breaking into CLW83 programming to take you live to Impact Wrestling headquarters in Nashville, Tennessee. President Dixie Carter is about to take questions from the media. Let's listen in.
Hi, Carl Schinner here of the Double D News. Do you realize the great colleague could book Impact better than the clowns you have running the show?
While I respect that those of you out there might have differing opinions of the decisions that I'm making, I expect you to support me 100%.
This is Anthony from the Brooklyn Eagle. Miss Carter, is it difficult lying to your employees, or have you gotten used to it?
Business is about choices, and I'm great with that.
Excuse me, Nigel Lord Sexington from The Guardian. You're going to have Garrett Bischoff for David Arquette win the TNA title before TNA goes under at the end of the year.
When you question things in this company, you're questioning me. And I cannot allow that to happen.
Miss Carter, do you realize you wouldn't be in this mess if you had given my dear Uncle Paul what he wanted in the first place?
Oh, you just shut up. You're making excuses because this is your ego. Wipe that stupid ego grin off your face, you little smug shit. I want you out of here. This is over. Do you understand this?
Well, as you can hear, a very emotional and somewhat unbalanced President Dixie Carter storming out of the media room. She has quite a mess on her hands. You've been listening to her press conference exclusively here on CLW83.com. And as always, if news breaks, we will break back in. This is Jim Williams for now, returning you to regular programming.
And after the reporters saw that she was storming out of the building, I stuck around and answered a few questions, took a few pictures, signed some autographs. I'm a very reasonable individual, and I thought my question was legitimate. But I'm not the only one asking questions. I just don't know if we've got all the answers. We're going to try. Here at the North American Wrestling Connection is sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and around the table tonight I have the most of the West Coast, Ethan Muslin.
If you're talking about the most in terms of poundage, you're probably right.
And the Rage of the Northeast, VRM.
I have a friend, Mr. Gregory Foster, out in the UK. Stop shooting me in the finale of Left 4 Dead! Damn it!
And for this opening segment, which ties directly into that press conference, Jason Block has decided to join us.
Yes, good evening. I would call that press conference and what we're about to talk about TNA's horrible, terrible week. And they really had a bad one. And believe it or not, this is not the worst thing that, well, this is not the only bad thing that happened this week. The bigger thing, you know, you mind if I set it up, or you want to start it off?
Let me give some build first.
Right on.
Let's start with their house show in Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
Oh boy.
Some people paid some very good money to see some very good wrestling.
But yeah, good luck with that.
Okay. Granted. But It sucks when it turns out that the Missouri Athletics Commission discovered that, let's see, Garrett Bischoff, Miss Tessmacher, Jay Bradley, Gail Kim, and Chris Effin Saban didn't have licenses in Missouri to wrestle.
Out of all those, I'm saying, except for Chris Saban.
Really? Really, TNA?
Your world champion doesn't have a license to wrestle.
Now, in lieu of...
You would think they would consider something like that if they're doing, you know, a show on, you know, something called Going on the Road. You should probably be cleared for where you're going to.
Yeah, and some states are extremely strict about this. Missouri is one, Kentucky is another.
Bama.
Alabama, yeah. I'm trying to think. There's like one Georgia? Or two other ones. Georgia, maybe. Michigan, not so much. Ohio. Depends on how many people know about your show and how many people hate you. So, anyway, since these individuals were not able to perform at the show, they announced to the crowd that refunds would be provided or... They were going to give meet and greet passes, so at least you could see them, even if you didn't get to see them work. Ethan, is that a fair exchange, or do you still just want to say LOL TNA?
Part of me still says LOL TNA, but they handled the situation as best they could. Yeah, for a glaring oversight as to having your world champion not be cleared to compete by your state athletic commission. Dumb move, TNA. You can lull for that. But they did at least have, you know, do the typical meet. They gave out the meet and greets, which are usually for a cost. They gave it out to the fans. That was a nice little way to compensate for it. But still, not getting to see them compete in the ring, I don't know. It leaves a sour taste in the mouth.
VRM, if you had a ticket to this show, what would you have done when you got that announcement?
I would have said, okay, you're gonna refund everything, right? You're gonna refund all the gas I spent to get out here. You're gonna refund the food I bought to get out here. You're gonna refund, because me.
Rage, yes.
And that's why it pays to have your receipts.
Oh, there's another kind of receipt I would have been implementing at this show. Jason, I'm sure you would have had righteous anger at such an announcement.
Pretty much. I'd be asking for my money back. I really would. Because, I mean, I understand card subjects to change, but I don't want... Because if I remember, there were five or six wrestlers total, and they wrestled multiple matches, if I remember, in this card, something like that.
I remember that, Andy. Oh, wait.
Yeah! Did you wear the blazer? That's what I'm saying, yes.
Well, let's see. In the course of that show, I was the GM, I was a guest referee, I was a...
Did you serve at the concession stand, too? That's what...
No, but I scared some kids and took away the ring bell hammer from them.
Good. Good.
So, but yeah, I've worked this indie, but this is the number two promotion in the country, supposedly.
Allegedly.
I'm thinking wrestling from Hollywood's doing better, Ethan.
Yeah, at least our venue is packed here. They shoot just down the street here in Glendale. They shoot at the Glendale Studios. They get at least about 50 to 100 people, maybe 150 at the most. And the show that they had in Missouri for TNA, how many do they have there? Like maybe like what 50?
300.
300 at an arena of what capacity?
Couple thousand at least, right?
Yeah, probably yeah. A 3,000-4,000 seat arena. So yeah.
From the pictures I saw, they were very sparse.
And you know, is that before or after papering? Well, okay. Now, Jason, I'm going to have you set up the next part of this because I'm not sure which happened first: the release or Dixie Carter essentially opening the floodgates.
Well, first of all, I think the Chief High Muckety Muck has to say something.
Go ahead, boss.
I damn sure am not celebrating my 30th birthday going to a house show by them anymore.
Yay. Nice.
As we record this, it is in 8 days from now. Thank you.
So there you have it, TNA. You just lost a customer.
Right. No.
Yeah,
well,
you can use it.
Well,
and I've been to tour, right? So there you go.
Here's what happened. Okay. First of all, the news, I think if I remember my timeline right, the news broke on Tuesday that the Night of Long Knives continues down in Nashville. Except the person who it cut made a, what's the one I'm looking for? When the news broke that this person was cut, everybody in the Twitterverse and the internet wrestling community went, can I say,
Yeah, imagine Jim's reactions from the Pony episode of FFL Live pregame last year. Times a thousand.
Okay.
People remember that show? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, okay.
Hey. Let me sum it up for you.
Jesus! Yeah, okay. Yes. Okay, do you remember a pay-per-view called Bound for Glory 2011? I believe this is what happened.
Okay. To the wiki!
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Because Wikipedia is always right.
Okay. A wrestler by the name of Zema Ion, who is now also released, was fighting a guy by the name of
Jesse Sorensen.
Yes, and there's Shane.
Oh, yes. I remember this.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Wait. Pause. Where Zema Ion got released too?
I think so, yeah.
I believe he did.
Excuse me, I'm not. That does not make me happy.
Calm down, Sean! Don't tell me to calm down! Nobody tells me that I don't know controversy! You gotta be kidding me! I'm just a freaking people! No, me! What do I know?
No, wait, now I'm really not happy. Go on.
Well, now I'm back to selling seltzer water.
No, I'm sorry. I may have made a mistake, but the thing is that Zema Ion has not had his medical bills paid because he has, I believe, some sort of, you know, stomach or cancer issue, if I remember correctly.
Not sure. I see the door opened up. Shane Beeman, welcome from the other side of the planet.
Oh, thank you very much.
We're here facepalming about TNA.
Oh, God, don't ask.
So what happened was on Tuesday, Jesse Sorensen, whose neck was broken and was promised a job for life at TNA, was released. So that same day, Dixie Carter, in her most infinite wisdom, see my fingers in quotes, asked for questions that she would answer on the Twitterverse. And boy, did she get some, right, Nikki?
This was a Scott Steiner won't shut the bleep up.
This was insane. But the fact that it wasn't just, you know, just fans. Even Sid Vicious cut her down a couple of times. Dave Scherer tweeted out there, Vince McMahon sends people that don't even work for him to rehab. TNA Dixie fires people that work for him, get their necks broken.
Ouch.
Yow.
It's true, though.
Oh, it's true.
What all I've got to say about Dixie Carter is the fact that she would make a brilliant politician.
Well,
don't give her ideas.
Sarah Palin already.
Well, here's the deal. If you heard the most awesome opening by, you know, Jim Williams, with special appearances by Carl Chenier, myself, Chico Alexander of WLTI Live, and of course Nikki, the host. Okay, Those questions were actually part of the Twitter feed. That's where you got it from, right, Nikki?
Yes. I'll send you a copy of this, Shane. Essentially, fans were asking ridiculous questions like, so are you going to put the belt on Garrett Bischoff or David Arquette before the show, before the company goes under? The Great Khali can book this stuff better than the clowns you've got behind the wheel. Some of them I'm not going to repeat on the air because I'm not going to start a fight.
Oh, do it. Please do it.
Oh, no. Look.
Are you sure, Shane? Are you sure? You really want to hear this?
Right now, seriously, with how TNA is going and how the booking's going, I would seriously take any questions from TNA fans because they have a right to be pissed off.
Okay.
Besides, we need to have this saved for posterity when we finally bury it 6 feet into the ground within the next year or two.
True. So, those who are easily offended, turn your you may mute for the next 10 seconds.
Okay.
Several individuals asked when Chris Benoit was going to be signed.
Oh, okay.
Nice. Wow.
Okay, now that the rest of you people are back, most of these questions were just plain.
But then it gets even better. Believe it or not, Nikki, it gets better. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So then on, I believe it was Thursday or Friday, Dixie decided to put out an open letter to TNA fans. Okay?
Ooh, do I have that? Maybe I should read it.
Yes, we do.
We do. I have it in front of me. You want me to put it in the box for you? Or do you have it?
I'm checking to see if I have it.
I'll repost.
Repost it so that I'll just read it again from there because it doesn't look like I thought I had it.
Okay.
But
here, there it is. Just there it is. Okay.
Okay. I almost wish I had Tom Delgado on this show just to start reading this to see how long before he either laughs, groans, or rages. VRM, will you take the responsibility of this?
Of reading it?
No, of laughing, groaning, face-palming, or raging.
Okay.
I think we'll all be volunteering that.
All right.
Oh, that's all right. The hungover person will do that very, very well.
All right. And I'll try to say it as cluelessly as possible. Hi, everyone. In the 11-plus years that I have been with TNA, I am still amazed by the passion of pro wrestling fans. That passion, both positive and negative, is remarkable and something that all of us at TNA values.
Eye roll.
Okay.
With that said, I asked for questions from you like I have done many times in the past, but I didn't provide a time frame by which I would answer you. I know I've frustrated you all, and I apologize. So beginning next week, each Thursday, I will answer legitimate questions from you on a weekly basis. I will not, however, address outrageous and hurtful questions or posts.
Oh, really? You mean truth questions?
Then what's she going to do with that time?
Hmm.
I also wanted to take this opportunity to provide perspective from inside of TNA where we stand and where, with support from our current and future fans around the globe, we are going.
Future? Really?
Unless you have fans of the Titanic, you don't have any fans. Trust me.
What is being shared with you now is what was shared with the Impact roster before our destination show from Louisville last week.
You called that a phenomenal show? Jesus Christ.
This has been a big year for TNA. Excuse me. You just broke me.
Bullshit! There we go.
We took Impact live on the road exactly where it needs to be, where you asked us to be, in your backyard. Too many jokes. Too many jokes right there.
One!
Okay. Hi. We also changed our pay-per-view schedule, shifting from 12 to 4 live pay-per-view events each year in order
that
to...
That is stupid!
No. The only reason they switched from 12 to 4 is because they've been getting such a paltry pay-per-view number.
Well, that's because they have no protection over the ones that over everybody who just streams the show.
Which is probably a fair majority.
Let's see. In order to increase the value of those events for you...
Two!
I'm not making any of this up. Let's see. To grow TNA, these are moves that are needed to be made.
Oh, and dear God. Can I just stop it right there? Stop the pain right there.
It's growing it into a hangnail.
Yes, these are moves that needed to be made. Yes, you needed to release people like Tara and friggin' Doc and Jesse Sorensen, like actually talented people, and you need to keep old farts like Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan around. Bullshit.
Hit the button again, Nikki.
I'm gonna hit the other button.
Fucking bullshit!
Yes.
And from the chat room, hey, Dixie, mold grows too. Just saying. Where was I?
Well, you gotta have some sort of fertilizer.
She's got plenty. I'm not done yet.
Part
of the changes like this include structural changes within TNA to align with this new business model.
Oh, God.
Here we go.
Apparently that model is the Titanic.
I've heard some corporate bullshit in my time, but oh my God.
Yeah, it gets better. Go on.
This truth.
Many of your comments and questions reference our recent roster changes.
Yeah, you think?
The relationship that fans have with wrestlers is unique and one of the many great aspects of the wrestling business. And for this reason, releasing talent is never easy. Not for you and not for us.
Oh, really? It seems to be fucking easy for them.
I'd like to ask a couple of the guys you let go in the last week and a half about that.
Yeah, including Crimson, who just said supposedly his knee is fucked up. I don't know if you heard about that.
No, hey. But that I'm guessing that the swing of the axe was just to make sure that he couldn't get his that they wouldn't have to owe him medical.
Pretty much.
To continue. But bringing in fresh faces and the best wrestling talent in the world is what you expect. But TNA always strives.
What?
They are bringing the best and newest, brightest talents into TNA and then releasing them a year later.
Hang on. I'm sorry. No offense to the people, but I do not call Rockstar Spud or Stud, whatever the fuck he wants to call himself, fucking better than guys like Sonjay Dutt, Petey Williams, and all that. But do continue. Jesus Christ.
And immediately she contradicts herself by saying, recently we have brought back some talent favorites like Sonjay Dutt and Petey Williams and Homicide. And you will continue...
Guys that should have never been released in the first place.
Thank you. You will continue to see this and new talent that we are excited to introduce to you in the coming months.
We have future Botchamania material.
You have months?
It's like watching a train wreck in slow motion. It really is.
It's something that you continue to watch, but you can't look away. Like...
Let's see. TNA has always been and will continue to be a place where you can interact with the superstars, whether in person at a live show or via social channels like Twitter and Facebook. That's probably the only thing she's gotten right in this entire letter.
And that is the most bland and generic thing you can see in that entire statement.
She speaks fluent corporate, and I hate corporate.
Politics.
You don't speak corporate to a wrestling fan base. We know what bullshit sounds like. We are constantly exploring new and interesting ways to take this interaction to another level, and you will see this unfold in the coming months.
Oh! You're gonna let us beat on Hogan for real?
Unfold wasn't the word I was going to use. Collapse. If there's gonna be any folding, this thing's gonna fold up like a road map, and just as disorganized. Let's see. I appreciate each of you taking the time to share your thoughts, opinions, and ideas. I wonder if she did that with a smile on her face.
Probably one of those big fakes, fake corporate smiles. Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. Smile and nod.
Yeah, just nod and smile and... Let's see. Your input and feedback helps us create a better product.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Well, that tears it right there. Coming up next week, Tara Strong is going to be a performer.
Yes! And all she's going to do is stand at the top of the stage and sing Twilight Licious and leave to a standing ovation. Because that'll be the best TV that TNA will put on in years.
Twilight equals ratings.
If somehow Pinkie Pie managed to break the fourth wall and just...
Not even Pinkie would touch TNA right now.
This is true.
No!
Yeah, pretty much. And then, of course, you had, the tape TNA from last night. And their ratings went down a little bit to about 1.3 million. But, okay. So, I believe that is the end of the horrible bad week.
There was one more line in that statement, I think.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's true. Let me put in the last line here. I hope you will join us when Impact Live comes to your area. Carl, would you like to respond to that?
Fuck you, Dixie.
Just a flat out fuck you.
Okay, we need that as a sound. We need that as a sound bite. Thank you very much. But okay. All joking aside.
Wait, Shane?
I was about to say, I just love how she says new and interesting ways of things. It's like, Dixie, your new and interesting way was to take the X Division title, which did not need changing, and make it look more like WWE's old Intercontinental title. No! This just proves our point. They're trying to be too much like WWE. Did anyone else
know? No, Shane, they're not trying to be like WWE. They're trying to be like WCW.
Yeah.
Anyone else notice Austin Aries' look? That he looks a bit like CM Punk with those mutton chops? Just throwing that out there.
And to be honest, I think even people in TNA... can see through that letter.
You're a lying sack of crap, and you know it.
It's such corporate trite.
And I reiterate, I understand corporate. I can kind of speak it, but I do not like hearing it.
Honestly, does Dixie Carter want to know what she can do to fix her business that will make me watch TNA again?
That was going to be my next question, right, Nikki?
Well, go ahead, Shane. What would it
take? Bring back people that actually helped made TNA what it is. And I'm talking about the one woman that is probably more hated than Vicky Guerrero, and that's Karen Jarrett. And bring back Jeff Jarrett. I want to see Karen Jarrett walk down the ramp, get in Brooke Hogan's face, and slap a bitch.
I think we got another soundbite there. VRM, what would it take to get you to stop raging and watch TNA?
At at this point, you see, the problem is she fired the wrong people. She... yeah, it will. Yeah, Carl, exactly. It will take a lot of booze.
Okay, so I believe, you know, you...
I don't drink a lot. My limit is one beer, and that is not enough to make me watch TNA.
Okay, so yes, you are still raging.
Calm down, Sean! Don't tell me to calm down! Nobody tells me that I don't know controversy! You gotta be kidding me!
So, Ethan, can anything get you to watch TNA again?
Besides my roommate forcing me to watch it? Well,
that should be illegal. Go on.
Well, no, I'm kind of forced to endure it while they're watching. It's the only TV here in the living room. It's the only one I can watch. But, aside from lots and lots of alcohol, at this point, there would have to be a coup within the roster in order for me to watch TNA again. They would have to band together and throw Dixie Carter out onto the concrete. Until then, fuck it.
And see, here's the problem. You got a guy, I mean, there are flashes of brilliance there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You got guys like Bully Ray, who honestly has made himself into a single superstar in TNA, okay? You've got people like Chris Sabin, who've, you know, got the belt under mysterious means, but hey, okay? Do I give a rat's ass about the main event Mafia? Fuck no, I don't.
They're back?
Yes.
Yeah.
Here's the thing with that main event Mafia thing, and this is what I find funny, is the fact that Sting screwed that up by himself just by doing the promo he did. Why? Because he said, nobody came out to help me, so I'm going to get my own family to help me and everything else. And funny thing is, 80% of that family were people that were in the back when he was getting messed up by aces and eights and didn't help him. So, Sting, please tell me, why are they part of your family?
No. That's more stupid face Sting. That's a WCW staple. Because remember, one of his best friends was Lex Luger, who was always running around in the heel face revolving door.
Oh, God. Who can forget that?
Thank you, TV Tropes.
Yes, I will use lots of tropes when it comes to this, because this is crazy. I mean, you know, and Shane, yeah, you got a point. You can't just hand Saban the belt and think everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, like, you can't release good talent and then, as a consolation prize for all this, put the title belt on Chris Sabin, who got billed as the underdog. It's like, alright, thank you very much. You have Chris Sabin winning the title off Bully Ray. That is brilliant.
Yeah, that was good for about...
And it's not even a fucking pay-per-view. Thank you, goodbye.
It was good for about 5 minutes to get the... Yay, Chris Sabin, come back from injury. Yeah, an original's won the belt. And about 5 minutes later, it's like, okay, you just gave that away for free. See, that's the biggest problem right now. They're giving shit away for free!
And here's the thing. And I understand why they had to change the name of Suicide to Manic, because with the video package you saw this week from Manic... I can completely understand why. I mean, to say that your alter ego was Suicide, it's like... Everyone would be like, that's a bit wrong and confusing at the same time. All right.
So, now, the Sorensen thing, I think, is what you know, pretty much turned the entire fan base into rage and consternation, because... As she had told him shortly after he had actually gotten hurt, that he would have a job for life. And TNA did try. Apparently, he could not get medically cleared to wrestle again So he had been working for TNA as a production assistant, but still paying him wrestler money, which might have been too much, but at least he was still getting a paycheck. They had covered his medical. They'd paid travel for his mother to come in to, you know, keep tabs on him while he was on the mend. You know, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things. So it comes down to it's a business decision, but still, Shane, Dixie went back on her word.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, sorry, guys, I do have to get going because I've got stuff to do here. But this will be the last thing I say. Well, as far as the Jesse Sorensen thing goes, Dixie Carter acted like every other boss that has ever given someone a job, saying, yeah, you've got a job for life here, I'd never get rid of you, and then friggin' stabbing him in the back and saying, yeah, get out the door. And the reason she gives us is because, oh, there are a few people in the back that whinged and complained because he was getting paid more than any other production person. Yeah, due to the fact that he's not a production person, he's a friggin' wrestler, you morons. He's just there while he's on the mend, you idiots.
So, yeah, and I'll go even deeper into that in a little bit. Thank you for dropping by, Shane.
All right, thanks. Sorry, guys.
No, it's all right. So, okay, Vera, what part of job for life didn't I understand?
I'm probably the for life part, because the only thing that probably translates to is something with NWO, and since they're not NWO, so good.
And Jace, go ahead.
No, but here is the more interesting legal issue here, okay? Are his medical bills going to be paid? Were his medical bills being paid? Are we going to have another Daphne Younger situation like we talked about off-air earlier this week?
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. And it just seems to me that TNA, you know, management are really just making mistake after mistake after mistake. And I'm going to bring up another point we discussed. WWE is future looking. TNA just doesn't know where they're at. Right?
Yeah. And now
they're looking more into the scrap heap.
It's this, you know, we've made the jokes about, you know, TNA is going to fold. The ship's sinking, Ethan.
Oh, yes, it definitely is.
But I will put out, I'm going to point out something in this thing that Jason sent me. Because just to point out the job for life thing. I just want to say this because this is another one where we're going to really shovel some bullshit. So hold on tight, VRM.
Oh, boy.
And I quote, when TNA went on the road, the decision was made that Sorensen could be put to work as a production assistant, basically making sure everyone who was needed for the taping had signed in and confirmed they were present and bringing talents to different areas where they were needed for promos and vignettes and whatever. So he was being paid a good salary for 2 or 3 days of work a month. The mindset behind that was to give Sorensen the chance to, and this is important, learn some additional production skills that he could take elsewhere and have additional work experience on his resume.
Ooh.
VRM, you have my permission to rage.
Wow. I thought I heard a whole load of trite before, but wow.
Yeah.
There's no way to describe that. How asshole of a move can you get?
Damn! Here. I think this is what you needed.
Jesus!
No. You know what I need? I need to go over to my soundboard and get some. I need to get something from my soundboard to express my opinion, if you'll excuse me for a second.
No, go ahead.
Go rummage.
But, you know, it's crazy. And put it to you this way. Dixie Carter just became the biggest heel in wrestling.
Yes, but this is not a work. And the heat that she's getting right now is go-away heat.
This is beyond X-Pac heat.
Yeah.
This is, she's getting her own classification. No, she's getting her own classification of heat. And allow me to play this because...
You, buddy, what's your name?
Stan.
Oh! See? I just kicked Stan!
In other words, he just kicked Dixie. Which reminds me, speaking of kicking, I think we've already thrown Dixie Carter into room 101 at least once.
She needs a pony to kick her in further.
Yes.
Get my rope.
Dixie, I'm sorry. You know, you can say that we're all getting up in arms because all of a sudden you want to act like a business. No. What you should be doing is restructuring for a future and not listening to a couple of 50-year-old guys who are going to give you the same idea over and over and over and over again. So, yes, she's going deeper into the room.
Was there ever any doubt?
So, let me set it up.
Pause for dramatic effect.
And away she goes.
Forever!
There.
Amen and hallelujah.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay. Nikki, I will go back to my computer and look up for other legal things and just wash my hands of all this. So you guys talk about some good booking and some good wrestling and all that good stuff. So
yeah, let's talk some good.
Yeah, let's get ourselves out of this rut.
Yeah, and wash the palate, so to speak.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Jason. Okay. Meanwhile, on the other side of all of this, WWE has decided to finally throw the machine behind Daniel Bryan.
Woo!
Yes!
Oh, absolutely yes.
Yes! 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 Yes!
By continuing a storyline that involves management and the fact that Vince McMahon is playing, I don't like that little guy, do something to him. So Mr. Maddox, who has exactly zero spine, puts Daniel Bryan in a gauntlet match. Now, Ethan, one of those gauntleteers, I think, was going to be the Big Show.
Well, we would have hoped for it.
He's still not quite medically cleared because his knees are still having a little trouble holding up the rest of him.
Yeah. That's typical for us big guys, though. If our knees really give out as we age. So, yeah.
So, that's not only was he not medically cleared for Raw, he's not going to be doing the tour.
Oof.
So, Brian first had a nice little tete-a-tete with Jack Swagger. Then he set the entire IWC on fire when he was told he had to face Cesaro.
It's a mark-out moment! Mark-out, bro!
That was a brilliant match.
And that is 20 minutes that everybody will watch again. and again.
Oh, definitely. That was
and great. Again. So to try to quash the Yes-a-mania, Brad Maddox six Ryback on him. And even that was a good that was good VRM.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Although I think Ryback looked like he might have botched the finish.
I think he did because the
but that's just a case of physics.
Minor physics fail, and they made up for it very well.
Oh yes, they did.
You know the spot we're talking about, VRM.
Not really, because I would think I was asleep because I had a cut over that next day.
Okay. Near the end of the match, things had gotten out of control, and Ryback already had a table set up outside of the ring. While he's on the floor, Daniel Bryan gets on the apron and is going to do his running knee. But he came in too fast. Ryback catches him, and I think the spot was supposed to be he catches him, stops him, and plows him through the table.
Yeah, that's what it looked like it was supposed to be.
But Ryback lost his balance, spun around, and essentially powerbombed Bryan on the floor. Then he picked him up and powerbombed him through the table, calling for the DQ.
Which was great on Ryback's part. He saw his surroundings there and found the safe spot for him to drop him.
Yeah, at least he didn't. You know, he could where they were. Bryan's head could have been bounced off the stairs.
Off the stairs or off the edge of the table, which is either or is just as bad.
Yeah, anybody remember Spike Dudley getting thrown out of the ring by La Resistance? That's what I thought of. But yeah, essentially the way it was set up, they were an outside, closer to the stairs, on air side. So when Bryan comes across, Ryback catches him. But Bryan came in way too fast. The good news was that Ryback's balance was still good enough that he didn't clip the table, didn't clip Bryan on the stairs, got him some clean floor.
Yeah, that was really good on Ryback's end. I know we tout him as just not us, but the IWC touts him as just another Goldberg, but he is good in the ring.
No, he knows what he's doing, and he actually wants to do it, and that's why that's why this works. I didn't think I was going to hear from him tonight. Okay. The NAWC GM says, and I quote, "The main event had to make up for the fact that the only other one of the few other interesting things on that show was somebody's boobs."
I don't know if you could call it that though.
Well, was it the boob? Never mind. I'm
it
not going to make that joke.
The boob and AJ Lee.
I shouldn't say things like that about the Bellas, but they are boobs. Anyway, let's see. If news with an S, Miz has been teasing the fact that Jomo could show up as soon as SummerSlam. And I hate the fact that the Miz is teasing me like that. News with a Z, Stacy Keibler is not coming back.
And let's all wipe our collective brow.
I would have accepted it just because she would be their only B cup diva.
No, she'd be the only one with a positive number in terms of a cup size.
Let's see. And Rage News. I'm hoping that Mr. Block is not still sitting on the panel because the talk of Madison Square Garden having 10 years to figure out what they're going to do because they want to expand Penn Station probably should have started a riot in NYC.
Considering that they just spent how many billion, over $1 billion to renovate it?
Yeah. We need some composure here, folks. I think we all need a break. Restrooms are unlocked. Vending machines are plugged in. Let's chill for a little bit. I promise when we get back, it'll be all good news. I hope.
How many websites do you use to get your fix of wrestling news?
3, 4, 5 or more?
Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. Brett Clendaniel and his staff bring you up-to-the-minute wrestling news and views all day, every day. And WrestleChat.net is home to great podcasts like WrestleChat Radio, The Still Real to Us Show, and the North American Wrestling Connection. For the best in wrestling news and views, there's only one site to turn to. WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat. It's where it's at.
Hurricane Sandy left destruction and devastation across the Jersey Shore. Flooding and high winds left many residents without power, without a home, and without hope. With your help, that can all change. Operation Restore Our Shore, in cooperation with the American Red Cross, the Salvation Army, the United Way, and the State of New Jersey Department of Volunteerism, is committed to helping rebuild coastal communities impacted by Hurricane Sandy. To learn more about Operation Restore Our Shore, and to find out how you can help, visit facebook.com/Operation Restore Our Shore.
CLW 83 Network programming is now available on demand through Stitcher Radio. Log on to Stitcher.com. Download and install the free Stitcher Radio app to your iPhone, iPad, or Android device, or log into the site via Facebook. Then search for CLW 83, and you'll be instantly connected to all of your favorite CLW 83 Network programs. The Stitcher Radio app at Stitcher.com. The newest way to tune in to the CLW 83 Network. Online, on demand, and on the go.
And now, back to wrestling news and more silliness on the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net on CLWA3.com.
Back on the North American Wrestling Connection is sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Heyman with VRM and Ethan Muslin. Gentlemen, we've all had our hell weeks when it comes to our jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I think I'm scheduled to have another couple in the coming weeks.
I did my 13-day stretch already. And apparently I got a panicked phone call that I will be doing some stuff on Sunday. But that's neither here nor there. WWE has their own little bit of hell week going on. The fact that Raw was live Monday. The July 29th, 28th, 29th. This coming Monday's Raw was recorded on Tuesday. Oof. Wednesday, they taped SmackDown. Okay, 29th, thank you. And then Thursday, while Impact was stumbling around, they taped SmackDown for the following Friday. Then, as each crew had wrapped up their television work, they all hopped on a plane and flew to the other side of the planet.
Huh.
Which way?
Let's see. The Raw group is on a 5-day tour in Australia as we speak. And we'll be there till July 30th, and then we'll be doing a show in Shanghai on August 2nd. Once they're done with that, they hop a plane and fly all the way back around to land in Green Bay, Wisconsin for the August 5th Raw. I hope they got their own plane, because 15 hours on a plane in coach sucks. I've done it. Let's see. SmackDown. What are they doing? Ah, yes. They finished their stuff. And they're going to South Africa, if I recall correctly. There we go. They're doing house shows in Georgia, and then they will be leaving on the 27th for South Africa, and they'll be down there till August 3rd. So that's a kind of hell. That's a hell week for them, because you guys, I've explained this on the show before, Ethan, about what a typical WWE week is.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's essentially 2 or 3 days of house shows, then TV, and then you go home, maybe. If you don't end up going to Orlando to the Performance Center or having to go to Stanford for something, you know, then you can go home for a day or two. So, jet lag is a hell of a thing, VRM.
Yeah, and jet lag and red eye is even worse.
So, I hate to say this, but I'm almost looking forward to the August 5th Raw just to see how loopy everybody's going to be. Seriously, I mean, this past Friday's SmackDown certainly felt like it, with some of the doofosity and, you know, huge, huge kudos to Damian effing Sandow and his hunt for the briefcase. Ethan, did you see some of this nonsense?
No, please do tell.
Okay.
Because I am intrigued.
Okay. Sandow had the opening match of the night against Randy Orton and did his best to keep our attention. Late in the match, Cody Rhodes just comes striding down, picks up the briefcase, waves it at Sandow, and leaves. This distracts Sandow enough that he has to take the RK out of nowhere and had to leave him a little bit of, you know, then he went storming backstage first to take a shower.
Baby oil!
Then spent most of the rest of the show storming around looking for Cody, angrily demanding where he, you know, has anybody seen Cody? Oh, you're, you know, when they say no, he says, oh, you're useless, you know, oh, thanks, you know, thanks for nothing, and, you know, just generally being extremely haughty about it. He even went to Vicky Guerrero, and she said she hadn't seen him either. Now, Vera, I'm trying to remember what she said to him.
I don't remember what she said.
She said something to him that was also quite amusing, and I'm blanking at the moment, but that's okay.
I was in the middle of raging at Mr. Foster about him leaving me to face a tank by myself in the room before a panic event.
Mm. Oh, and he even stopped a couple of wrestlers, including Sin Cara, who did the silent version of the Mel Blanc C conversation.
Oh, God.
Have you seen Cody? About, and he's not. Yeah, it's just, have you seen Cody? And he'd nod. Which way did he go? And Sakaar just nods. Do you even understand what I'm saying? See? Ah, yes. Sando was so infuriated, he demanded that somebody call the police. He actually stormed back to the ring and got on the microphone and, you know, essentially was, you know, putting out his own all-points bulletin for the arrest of Cody Rhodes for grand larceny. It was epic. So while he's out there blustering, Cody Rhodes pops up on the Titantron. Standing outside across the street from this arena, they're in Corpus Christi, Texas. And apparently every time they go to Corpus Christi, somebody's got to go swimming.
Corpus Christi or Bridgeport.
That's true. So here's Cody standing outside over by the Gulf of Mexico waving the briefcase. Sando goes running out of the ring, running out of the building, goes up to Cody, who kind of dangles the briefcase over the water. And Sando's like, no, no, please, Cody, please, let's talk. We're friends. We are friends. We're still friends, right? You know, we've always agreed on many things. And you know, he starts buttering him up and doing all this other stuff to try to keep Cody from throwing the briefcase into the bay. So Cody finally says, fine, you deserve this, holds the briefcase out. But before Sandow can take it, Cody just pirouettes and off the briefcase goes into the water.
Damn.
To which Sandow then starts screaming for help and proclaims that he cannot swim. So he is unable to retrieve the briefcase on his own, and he even jumped in the water once to try.
Yeah. flailing.
Yes, flailing and flopping, and even when he got out, when he dragged himself out, he was coughing up water like he, you know, it was just acting. And this is why I like having Sandow on my TV.
Oh, yes.
So, okay, there we go. What Vicky had done was just, she kept telling Sandow, just relax. This will get taken care of. No, you don't say that to Sandow. That only made him bluster harder. And it was worth it. So hopefully that means those two are going to be facing off against each other at SummerSlam. I think that is unconfirmed or spoilerish. I will not leak any spoilers of the upcoming shows because why should I? I want you to watch the shows as per my disclaimer. Since we do not do recaps, if you didn't watch the show, that's your own damn fault. So, but I will, I seem to have omitted what is probably the biggest announcement for one of the matches for SummerSlam. And there isn't even a belt involved, VRM.
I must have been in the middle of the throes of the rage, so I'm...
Let me sum it up for you. The best versus beast.
Wait a minute. It's CM Punk versus Mark Labette?
Wolverine versus the Hulk? At least that's the better Photoshop that I saw. We have confirmed CM Punk versus Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. And somewhere, my dear Uncle Paul is dancing like an 8-year-old. Because he's a happy fella that he's got people on both sides.
It's a mark out moment! A mark it out, bro!
See what you missed out on, Dixie? Anyway. But yes, Punk has been doing some very, very Mike-tastic stuff to go along with this. He cut a promo on SmackDown that, you know, saying, I've had people come up to me saying, you know, I'm falling into Paul Heyman's trap. No, he's falling into mine. So this match is another one of those shut up and take my money moments, Ethan.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those moments. But so part of me is just, it has a, my inner sense of danger is telling me something's going to go awry.
Alex Riley
and
will have
it will be the fault of one Bork Laser.
Mm-hmm. And Alex Riley will have nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. So, VRM, does this open your wallet?
Right now, my wallet is trying. I'm trying to get my wallet a little tight. Because, yeah, it's now. Nah, even though normally, this would, but I'm just not able to find the way to spend the money.
Okay. Because I know you would not, you probably would not open your wallet for John Cena versus Daniel Bryan, despite the crowd reactions.
Yeah, despite the crowd, no. If it was an Iron Man match, maybe.
Maybe.
But, no, Daniel Bryan was doing the Iron Manning, and we talked about that briefly in the first segment. Turns out he also worked the Dark, which was a tag match. But it just kept on going. And I know wallets will not open for Del Rio, and no spoilers of his opponent. I should be upset that he pinned Rob Van Dam on SmackDown. I should be upset. But for some reason, VRM, I'm not. I think they're trying to unboring Del Rio.
Again, throes of rage.
Ethan, what do you think?
The luster is falling a little bit on Van Dam, but I mean, he might still have a little bit left before he's, you know, before the novelty wears off.
Admitted. Although I did like the promo leading up to it, where Rob shows up in the office while Del Rio's talking to Vicky. And Del Rio tells him that he's got to prove himself.
Whatever.
And Rob says, oh, prove myself like BG in the ring? Dude, okay, let's go. Vintage Rob Van Dam. Anyway, sorry, I had to say it. Oh goodness, the Total Divas thing. The less said about that, the better.
All it did is make me realize that make that one the one new diva instant heel and turn me off and like, why did we need an entire segment on Raw for this?
It's synergy. E and USA are both owned by NBC Universal. You're gonna have to have that network. You have to have the networking.
Okay, first of all, the first problem here is that it's E. Who watches E?
You'd be surprised. Hell, I would be surprised.
Well, there was a lot of things wrong with this segment. First of all, Miz was hosting at the beginning, and I was having Diva Search flashbacks when he hosted that. Then he awkwardly asks Lawler to join him in the ring, and Lawler awkwardly obliges. In the back of my head, I'm going, are we trying to give this man another heart attack by putting him that close to that many women at once? Oh, wait, no, they're all too old for him. The gal that they had heel on Lawler doesn't know, actually pulled her slap. I'm sorry, she pulled that.
Yeah, that... I saw that, I'm like, what kind of slap was that? She barely touched him. It was like Mickey Rourke.
And I think I even heard it from JBL. Lawler's paid more for worse. I mean, I think, you know, Lawler's ex-wife, any one of Lawler's ex-wives would have at least left a mark. This gal was actually afraid to hurt him. Yeah, seriously, I got slapped harder in Chillicothe when they threw me out of IWA. And I know I've slapped harder. But, you know.
If their intention with that is to say, one, she's a bitch, and two, she's weak, that, well, that's, they accomplished that.
And that's pretty much all I got out of the segment. Meanwhile, the rest of the guys were enjoying the free boobage.
Well, yeah.
to which the Bella in question actually apologized for showing off and mentioned that her the tape that was used to keep what she was almost wearing in place had come undone somehow. And mostly to the crowd, she said she would never do that again. So,
And to which the entire male community groaned.
Meanwhile, I'm facepalming. Because I'm like, okay, now you just chased off most of your audience. Because they want to see that again. No, unfortunately, the only way you're going to see any good Divas stuff is if you find a way to get your hands on some NXT. This week's episode, they showed the finals of the NXT Divas Tournament, Paige versus Emma, which was a spectacular match. Probably the best Divas match I've seen in years. To that, I also want to say, though, that the NXT Divas belt looks like it has LED lights on it.
Did they borrow Chris Jericho's shirt for it?
I'm serious. Have you seen this belt, VRM?
No.
Give me a second. Maybe I can find a copy of it. Or if somebody in the chat could go find that poll on... Yeah. Let me actually. There's another way I can. Let me see if I can find it, because I actually commented in this thread.
Those do look like LEDs.
Yeah. The light pink bits in the NXT logo and bordering the center plate. I was just waiting for them to light up in flashy patterns. And you know. Don't get me wrong. It's not a bad-looking belt. It doesn't look like the pretty, pretty princess belt that AJ's hawking.
Yeah.
Speaking of AJ, she flipped her gourd good this time.
Oh, yeah.
She tried destroying Ziggler's stuff, and he's just standing up on the stage going, yeah, and?
Yeah, okay, I could get a new passport at the passport office. It's like... It's like money. It's like, yeah. She's like, yeah. I think isn't what you're doing kind of illegal?
I don't think she actually tore up that money. She threatened to. But
your credit card's like, so I can call it. It's like, so really you're not doing anything. It's like,
yeah, the best line was about the cash though. It's like, I got money in my pocket. I don't even have pockets.
And who said, it's like, how does that work? Was that JBL?
Yeah, JBL's like, how does that even work? I can explain. That's pretty easy. When you travel, you should just put $40 in your sock, so that if you do lose your wallet, at least you have something. But yeah, she tried to tear up his luggage. She tried to throw away his money. She cut up his driver's license, cut up his credit card, cut up his passport.
Then got to the shirt. Wait, that's yours.
Oh, that's yours. I'm sorry. And then she was gone. She was epic rage. Epic rage. That was a epic bitch fit.
And then she starts walking up the ramp. Watch out! Boom!
Yeah, that I think that was the funniest part of it. Well, Ziggler's still commentating while she's pitching her bitch fit. She jumps out of the ring. He says, oh yeah, look out. she gets speared to hell and back by Caitlin. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. That's, you know, and it's stuff like this that makes me enjoy what WWE is doing right now.
And then Brony Langston needs a famouser.
So yes, we're going to get Ziggy and Biggie at SummerSlam, I'm pretty sure. No spoilers. But I think I've done enough damage for one show. So before we wrap, VRM, do you have anything to promote?
Yes, we were delayed since work made me not have a format ready for tonight. So we'll just be delayed a couple days for WrestleCraft Sports Digest, where, oh, there's some drama with A-Rod. Lots of, yeah, it's drama that really I don't care about. And, of course, our annual previews continue with the NFC South.
Mm-hmm.
Chief, can you be there for that? No response. But the most important thing, and something that I should get a yes, yes, yes for, Trident Camps are opening!
Yes! 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 Yes!
Finally! Football!
Let's see. Ethan, do you have anything to promote?
As much as everyone is preparing for football, not me. I am preparing for Labor Day weekend. Myself and some of my partners in crime here at Home Game Enterprises will be doing the 24-hour Game Show Marathon West. Starting August 30th at 12 noon and then proceeding for 24 hours henceforth, we will be doing 24 different game shows, including some of our original shows, which we may have seen on the YouTube, but you may not have seen on the YouTube, but some other ones that we haven't done before in public view. Our rosters are set. Our material is slowly building. And the mystery game is complete, and it will be shown for all to see on Sunday morning.
Excellent. Muckamuck, it sounds like you had something to promote.
Hi, and by the way, for VRM, I will be at work by the time you probably record Sunday.
Back.
Sorry. We recorded the BS Big Show last night. Our final show sponsored by a site, and for more information on that, I would advise you to listen to it once this is up. But we talked about what's going on with training camps now, and let's just say a couple people are starting to burn some bridges. Not naming names, but yeah.
Well, just the fact that we spent the first half of the show talking about how Dixie Carter's been burning our fan base bridge. So,
well, these people would be in a certain city that's been under scrutiny for the last little bit with a certain alleged murderer.
Oh boy! Yeah. Okay.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Tim. Hi, Bill.
And I'll go ahead and cover for some of the other CLW 83 programming, such as Red State, Blue State, Touch 'Em All. Of course, we also have Pixel Nation, which I don't know if they're recording this week or not.
No, I believe they are taking the week off.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Yeah, this they are taking this week off because Mr. Henniger is celebrating a birthday.
Oh, fooey. I'm recording next week and my birthday's next Saturday.
Well, that's your birthday present. You're going to be with friends.
Of course, he's got an excuse. He's going away.
True. And I will, I will promote a couple of appearances that I will be making. I have everything confirmed for Gen Con in Indianapolis. I will be wandering around incognito. Please come by and shake my hand. Also, my Labor Day weekend will be occupied, as I have confirmed seating for Raw is Des Moines on Labor Day and SmackDown tapings in Minneapolis. So I'll be around. Please come by and say hello.
I really need to find a way to work my way out to Gen Con for 40K, hopefully. I gotta find a way to get out there.
You've got to come one year, VRM. Gen Con is an experience beyond experience, and I've been several years now. I'm planning to make my one stop at the Spartacus Publishing booth, the guys who created a wrestling role-playing game based on the cheesy superhero luchador movies. Way of the Mask. Take a look at it if you're a gamer. But I also would like to hype our other stuff, CLW83.com. If you'd like to listen to us from your computer on the go, please check in with Stitcher Radio or Player.fm. And I think that's everything that I needed to talk about. Yeah. We're done here. For VRM, for Ethan Muslin, for the visiting Shane Beeman, for Jason Block, for the Chief High Muckety Muck, Carl Schneer, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. We hope you've been entertained, and screw you, Dixie Carter.
You've been listening to a JWC Media produced program.